Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
9 o'clock hour, Area 45. PC out tonight, Chris Partee in. I'm Sean Bajani, and hanging around with us on the Sports Radio 610 hotline is the General John McClain. Make sure you catch his work, HoustonTexans.com. He'll have another column coming up before the game this weekend, noontime kick at NRG Texans and Dolphins. John, you know, we talked a little bit about Jalen Petrie, of course, and you mentioned Kenyon Green being back at practice today, along with Zach Thomas. Whoever the heck that dude is, he was there, took the first offensive snap today for them at left guard at practice. But another big injury report today was Christian Harris. This is the first time in months that we've seen this guy on a practice field. Limited participant today. Do you feel like this is just kind of a part of the ramp-up process for him, or is there some way, shape, or form he could factor into the game plan this weekend for the Texans?
The way D'Amico talked today, it looks like he's going to play. He'll be activated, whether he starts. Now, they've got Neville Hewitt. He started three games in place of Aziz Alshire when he was hurt, and he played really well. Had an interception one game, forced fumble, led the team in tackles a couple of times. So Hewitt's a former starter, a 10-year veteran who plays very well. He had played. D'Amico wouldn't commit to him like he doesn't commit to anybody, telling us what the injury is, who's going to play. But the fact is, if Christian Harris, I can't imagine you can miss as much time as he's missed and all of a sudden come out and play like he played, especially in the playoffs and that Cleveland game in which he was credible. But I think he'll be back in the lineup, if not this game, the next one against Kansas City, because he's just too talented. But he's got a lot of cobwebs to wipe off. But also, let me ask y'all, there's two teams that are playing Sunday, and both of them are being outscored in the second half. You know, the Dolphins have not been good in the second half either. Something's got to give. And another thing I just looked up, I was talking about how many touchdown passes the Texans had to wideouts. You mean that the Dolphins have 7, same number.
Wow.
Jalen Waddle from here has only 2. Tyreek Hill has 5. Jonnu Smith, the tight end who used to give the Texans fits when he played for the Titans, he has 5. And then Devon Achane, he has 6. And running back leads them in touchdown catches. So, man, you've got to be aware of him because he has 63 catches. That's only two fewer than Tyreek Hill. So, man, besides them having super speed, they're great receivers too. So those DBs have got their hands full.
Yeah, John, I was actually telling Sean earlier before we brought you on that, you know, I think the way for the Texans to win this game, I don't think they can win a shootout. We haven't seen them be able to do that, especially against a team like the Dolphins, who that's their style. They want to get up and down the field. So I think the best way for the Texans to win this game is to really play keep away, keep the ball, run the ball. Don't let Tua in that offense, Tyreek Hill, all those guys, don't let them get all these big splash plays. So keep them off the field. I think that's the best way.
Or long drives, you know. I mean, they can't keep the ball for 10, 11, 12 plays, I don't think, and you'd be able to match wits with them.
No.
One of the things they like to do is, because Tua wants to get rid of the ball so fast, is slant routes. You know, get it and turn it upfield, which is Nico Collins. That's what he does best, too.
Yeah, that's his forte.
Tyreek Hill is averaging 11.8 yards a catch. That could be the fewest of his career. Jalen Waddle, 13. Jonnu Smith, 11.3. So they don't have – they're not making big plays like they have in the past. Yes, Tua's missed some games, missed four. But you would expect of them to have more long pass plays like they have in the past. So I would think the best way, Sean, is you mentioned, well, you too, Chris, try to control the ball, which is easier for the Texans because they throw a lot of short passes. Make the passes be like runs. Miami, we don't think of Miami as a defensive team. They're number 9 in defense. They're number 7 against the run and 11th against the pass. So they're probably going to try to load up for Joe Mixon like everybody does. And I wish they'd throw Joe more passes because he's such a good receiver. And he's also so good once he gets the ball for breaking tackles, which is one of the things he does best. So I would expect we're going to see some long drives in this game, probably capped off by field goals. Every time I see Kymie Fairbairn come out, I'm like, oh, you know, I want to see him kick another 50-yarder. I don't want to see him kicking 28-yard field goals because it means they failed. They failed in the red zone. On offense, yes, they're tied for 21st in the red zone. On defense, they're 28th.
Yeah. Well, you and I have talked about this before, John. Early in the season, and we saw it multiple times last year with DeMeco Ryans, you know, fourth and short. You know, it felt like if they were at least beyond their own 40-yard line, if they were facing a fourth down situation, it was, you know, pedal to the metal, like, let's just go. You know, we're going to roll the dice. That aggressive style of play calling and confidence, though, that's what it is. It's the confidence you have in your offense to go out there and execute and get it done. And it's waned in recent weeks, I think, on the Texans, and maybe rightfully so. I would like to see a little bit of that confidence restored this weekend. I think it's necessary.
With this offensive line, you can't take those chances. It blows me away. Last year, when they started 12 offensive linemen because of injuries, more than any team in the league, mm-hmm. same coaches, they didn't have sack issues. He's already been sacked more this year than he was sacked last year.
Yeah.
And it's an anomaly, just like the thing I talked to you guys about on defense. When I did a column on Kymie Fairbairn earlier this season, John Weeks, their great snapper, who probably be at the Kinder's Texas Bowl of Wares also since he went to Baylor, he said the reason that he's taken so many 50-plus yard field goals opportunities, he didn't get this many opportunities in the past. Well, just like you said, Sean, fourth and one, fourth and two, they go for it. Now they kick they're not afraid to kick a 55 to 58 yard field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And Kymie's already set the NFL record. No telling how many more he's going to get over these last four games. And I don't mind seeing him try those. I have more confidence in him kicking a 55 yard field goal than I do sometimes if it's fourth and say two and they got to actually run for first down because they've been stuffed so much by the run. And a lot of that's Bobby Slowick's play calling when he wants to do something, running the ball up the middle when he must be the only person in the stadium that know that they're going to stop it.
It's an incredible weapon. And it's one of those things where you hope, I think, you know, Chris and John, that it factors in at some point late in the season, maybe the playoffs, where because Kaimi's got that experience and you've got that confidence in where, you know what, he can boot a 57, 58 yarder in perfect conditions if you're playing indoors or whatever. He can go win you a game. He can keep a game out of reach, so to speak, from the opposition. I think the hope is that this year, unlike, you know, any year before, that is a real weapon for the Texans. But I'm with you. I think we would all agree we'd like to see him be far more aggressive.
Exactly. John, I got one last question for you here on the Texans. You mentioned Bobby Slowick there a second ago. Did we jump the gun on him last season? You know, he was all the rave going into the offseason after that great year, rookie year by C.J. Stroud. And this year, it just hasn't lived up, you know, to the billing. Did we jump the gun, Chris, on him a little bit?
It's interesting. He didn't get stupid over the offseason. I'm sitting here thinking about all the criticism of Bobby, and a lot of time it's deserved. And then I think, man, Tank Dell wide open in the end zone against Detroit, and Stroud's on the run, and he'd thrown it an instant farther. If sooner, it would have been a touchdown. It would have beaten the Lions. Instead, it was intercepted. And that had nothing to do with Bobby Slowick. There's some stupid things, like all those dumbass penalties the offensive linemen get. You know, that's not Slowick. And I think Bobby's problem, he's got a better running back than he's had since the 49ers, and he wants to use him, and sometimes he uses him too much, especially on first and second down. His play calling, it's easier to figure out. Mm-hmm. They put Stroud in long situations, I think, more than any quarterback in the league. The only quarterback who's been sacked more than him is Caleb Williams with 56. He's threatening David Carr's record. It'd be a shame for Carr's record to be broken, wouldn't it? And so I think Stroud has to grow as a play caller. He sees a lot of things. They haven't been able to throw the ball down the field a lot like they did last year. A lot of it's because of coverage, and they just haven't figured out how to beat it.
John McClain, our guest on the Sports Radio 610 Hotline. To kind of get away from Texans for a second, I just saw news before you'd come on, and I think it came down a couple hours ago, but I just saw it. Bill Belichick and the University of North Carolina officially have agreed a 5-year deal. Interested in your thoughts on Bill Belichick, you know, kind of going away, turning his back, you know, turning to the next chapter, so to speak, away from the NFL and not a college ball. Is this officially behind a 72, soon to be 73-year-old head coach now of the Tar Heels and Bill Belichick, that the NFL is just simply the past?
Well, it's a youth movement because he's a year younger than Mack Brown, and maybe his girlfriend wants to go back to school and be a cheerleader. And because I'm stunned that he took it, I'm guessing his agent contacted the three teams that need coaches now, and none of them, and they were all honest to say they wouldn't be interested. I read a thing a while ago. He's going to have $20 million NIL money.
Yeah.
He's going to get to hire 30 new staffers. And right before I came on, I tweeted, Mike Lombardi is supposed to be his football general manager. He was with Mike for years in Cleveland and New England. Mike, of course, working for, I can't remember which gambling site, and has a talk show. But I do not see Belichick recruiting. Dion, yes. Dion has got charisma. He's got personality. Belichick doesn't. And I'll guarantee you, he didn't take jobs with Let's Go inside the NFL and Pat McAfee to try to get a college job. Nope. I think the NFL just passed him by. Nobody wanted to give him total control. Now he can bring back all of his buddies who used to coach for him, which I think would be a terrible mistake. He needs to hire people who know how to recruit, people understand NIL, people that huge department in the transfer portal. And people say, well, he won't have to recruit because people will all want their kids to play for him. I don't think so. And one of the, I think he is going to have to recruit. People say, well, free agency's in the NFL. No, not like this. Free agency's every 4 years. You're free agent every stinking year. And can you imagine him chewing out a player in practice like he does? That guy will enter the portal immediately. It just brings up all kinds of potential problems. I think it's fascinating. I'm in shock. I hope Bill does well. I hope he's happy as could be, and it works out great. But it's also kind of sad to me that a guy so close to being passing Don Shula's winningest coach in history has to go to college. Now, Andy Reid, who's 66, Andy's going to shatter the record set by Shula as long as Mahomes is there. And Mahomes doesn't look like he's going to be retiring in the next 10 years. So hopefully it'll all work out for Belichick. But the fact is, Caserio leaves, his talent goes down, Brady leaves. He had one good year with Mac Jones. That was with Josh McDaniels coaching him. And then he brings in Joe Judge and the Matt Patricia with the worst coaching mistake he made in his career. And Mac Jones goes down the toilet. So it's going to be fun to watch, I'll tell you that.
John, I could not agree with you more. Every point you just made, we were talking about it earlier, I agree. With that being said, how long does this last? Like, what's your over-under? I think he got a five-year deal, right?
Yep, 5 years.
Yeah.
He signed a five-year contract. Yeah. If it doesn't work out really well, you know, he wants his son, Steve, to be the next head coach. There's talk that he's got a deal for his son to replace him. Yep. Steve's never been a head coach. He came up through the New England system. I can't remember where he is now. It might be Washington. And he wants Steve to be the head coach. So that, I don't think, is ever good. But sometimes you got to make those deals. And I do believe this. If it doesn't work out, it'll set that program back 10 years at least.
Oh, you're talking about contracts. We've been talking about contracts, but from a baseball sense, the last couple of days, man, since Juan Soto's deal went down over the weekend, late Sunday night, what have you made personally of all the chatter surrounding Astros current Astros outfielder Kyle Tucker this week on the trade front? Where are you at with all of the different ways this thing could go for the Astros this winter?
Well, I thought Bregman was gone. But now I'm beginning to think somebody's not going to offer him $200 million. If they do, he's gone. But I think there's a good chance they get him back. Now, I watch Brian McTaggart from MLB.com, who covers the Astros, on MLB Network today. That made me want to vomit because he thinks there's a good chance Bregman's gone and Tucker will be traded. And I don't blame them. You know, they've let Correa, Springer, Cole, Charlie Martin, so many people leave for nothing. And I think in this case, there's no way Kyle Tucker's coming back because he might get $300 million. And so if they could trade Kyle Tucker and get a right fielder somewhere, like I'd love him to sign Anthony Santander of the Orioles. He had like 44 home runs. He's a switch hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Putting him in that ballpark, my goodness. But they'd still have to get somebody, and they'd have to get some minor league talent as well, but I wouldn't blame them if they traded him. And I'm sure hoping against hope that Alex Bregman re-signs. But it's a sign of the times. You know, the deal that Willy Adames signed, you know, Scott Boras is going to try to get more than that. Might be okay to me if he signed for the same thing, Willy Adames. And also, Juan Soto gets a free suite. He gets four tickets right behind home plate. He gets police escorts. He gets, he gets escorted home and to the ballpark. Yankees would not throw in a suite. And Yankees said, "We, much as we pay our players, they can buy their own suite." But they've given him also clauses for bonuses, like he needed those. And then, of course, the other one is, they can buy him out after 5 years, and if they do it, they have to give him another $5 million per year he would have made, which would bring the deal to $800 million. And you know what? Has he ever won a World Series? Yeah. He helped the Nationals beat the Astros, but since he got wealthy, no.
Yeah, that's John McClain. It's going to be an interesting follow, man. I'm with you, though. I'm hoping against hope Alex Bregman stays a Houston Astro. We'll see. Maybe the next time we talk, we'll have some finality to it. Appreciate you joining us, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Sean, Chris, great talking to you, both of you guys. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, John.
Attaboy, there we go. I mean, we already got the Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. But he did say he's going to talk to us next week, so that's good. Just freaking me out a little bit. He's ready to say, yeah, screw you guys. I'll see you next year.
Take some time off.
It's all good. Maybe jump the gun a little bit, but it's all good. It's nice to get the holiday wishes from the general. All right, coming up next, we'll get you caught up on the day's top stories. Take a look at the scoreboard. The greatness that is the NBA Cup. Chris Partee is underway. Are you ready for this action, Colin, a.k.a. Will? Are you ready for this update? We'll have it for you next. It's Hot Lead. Stay there.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
These are the new leads.
Now look, I need the leads.
These are the Glengarry leads.
Two lead cards for tonight, two lead cards for tomorrow.
Why give him the good leads?
He's got the leads.
He's got the leads.
He's got the good leads.
The whole thing is the leads.
They stole the Glengarry leads.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
Man, I just got me a cup of coffee, and it looks like the Rockets and the Warriors, for that matter, Chris, need a couple cups of coffee. Wake their ass up. This is like going to be like one of the lowest scoring first quarters in the NBA this season. It was 20-18 in favor of the Rockets after the first 12 minutes.
I can guess why.
Why?
They don't give a damn to be out there. Oh, that's why.
They don't give a damn. You mean the cup is not big enough for them?
Exactly.
Oh.
They don't care. They're not. Oh, yeah. We're going to do this. We're doing this right now.
He's they on don't my give side. A damn. Where were you last night, man?
I know, right? I should have called me, man. I would have had your back.
Yeah, you know.
LeBron James is the only one that gives a damn about this cup.
And why him? Why does he care about the cup? Honestly.
Because he's LeBron James.
Just because, like, it's something else to win, and so he's going to do it, damn it.
Something that he can win that Michael Jordan didn't win for one.
LeBron James.
I've got multiple cups, multiple first half cups, and Michael Jordan never had any. Yeah, that's, I don't know about all that. I mean, that's like saying.
Don't get me started.
You know, I've won five Cy Youngs in my career, and you've won none. Who's a old-time pitcher that pitched before 1955?
Walter Johnson.
Walter Johnson. You don't have any Cy Youngs. Hey, Cy Young doesn't have any Cy Youngs.
But here's the difference. Cy Youngs actually matter. This cup doesn't matter for anything.
I know, but the point was is you couldn't win them because they didn't exist.
Valid point.
Yeah.
But still.
And Michael Jordan didn't need to play for a cup that didn't mean anything.
He did not.
Because regular season game number 25 and 26... was regular season game number 25 and 26. No matter who it was against, you still needed to win if you were Michael Jordan or anybody else back in that day. It's 26-20, the Rockets leading the Golden State Warriors. The fullest iteration of the Golden State Warriors that does involve Steph Curry and Draymond Green tonight. Curry, about the only guy on the floor tonight shooting worth a damn. 3 of 4 for him, 2 of 3 beyond the arc. He's got 8 early points for the Warriors. For the Rockets, as a team, they have been absolute ass from beyond the arc. Just 1 of 10. But, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. Alperen Şengün is doing Alperen Şengün things. He's 4 of 7 from the field. Good start for him. 8 points, 4 boards, a dime, and a steal for the badass Rocket. So we'll see. We'll keep you updated what happens. Rockets quite simply just looking for their 17th victory of the season. Nothing more. Nothing less. No cup. Doesn't matter. Just 17 wins. That's
but
what they're
this is
for.
A quarterfinal matchup, right?
Dude, I got to be honest. Something with you. I'm not like even that. Trolling. I'm not trying
it's
to
something
be.
Something like that.
Not trying to be difficult. I don't know, and I don't give a damn. I don't care if this is a semifinal, quarterfinal, regional final, final. Don't give a damn. It's a game on the schedule, and the Rockets got to win it. That's all I know. Major League Baseball news. It's just nice to have this conversation with somebody with some logic and sense about them. Major League Baseball news. Boy, I saw this today. I guess it makes perfect sense, right? Garrett Crochet changing socks. He was a White Sox. Now he's going to be a Boston Red Sox. Red Sox acquiring the left-hand services of one Garrett Crochet earlier today for catcher Kyle Teal, outfielder Braden Montgomery, infielder Chase Madroth, right-hander Wickelman Gonzalez. That is a real name.
I love it.
They're all headed to Chicago in exchange for one Garrett Crochet, and there's absolutely zero reason that you should know any of those individuals. I don't even know why I read their names, mainly because I wanted to say Wickelman. That is an individual's first name. Crochet, 25 years old, badass last year, all-star in his first full season with the White Sox. He was 6-12 with a 3.58 ERA, but the really badass part was Chris Partee. Nearly 13 strikeouts per nine innings. That's what he accomplished last year. That is what the Boston Red Sox are going to be getting.
Well, the White Sox weren't going to put any of that to good use.
So. No, they were not, because they've been horrible. They are ass. I mean, ass.
They are past ass. Okay? They're past that. The White Sox are horrible.
Yeah, they are bad, man. It was a lot of fun to watch them suffer last year, especially they lose like 19 games in a row, 17. Did it approach 20?
It was a lot more than that. I'll get back to you on that.
It was horrendous, but fun at the same time. NFL news. How about this? All right. Hey, it's week 15, okay? And we're talking about future rule changes already coming down the pipe. Get ready for this.
NFL.
Not, I wouldn't say they're major ones, but they're important ones. So these are the ones I think you can get on board with. Maybe. The NFL is apparently looking into expanding replay. They're at the winter meetings, so to speak. And they're looking at expanding replay that would catch face masks. Apparently, there's been a huge rash of like missed face mask penalties throughout the NFL this year. I don't know that, like, from Texans' point of view, like, we've really seen that many that have affected them in a negative way, and that they have affected themselves in a negative way by committing penalties, would-be penalties. I don't know. To me, it hasn't been a thing here in Houston, but apparently around the rest of the league, it is very much a thing. Current rules allow replay assist to help officials pick up flags that have been incorrectly thrown on the field in assisting, proper reinforcement or enforcement of fouls called on the field. The NFL has apparently seen enough to where they need to look at expanding replay. The competition committee is going to review potential recommendations for owners to vote on for expanding this. And they're going to apparently take a look at other issues like low blocks, onside kicks, which I think would be a huge one. If they could fix this onside kick situation and make it more...
They just changed the onside rule, didn't they?
Yeah, but it's... Well, they changed the kickoff.
Yeah, the kickoff.
The onside, it's like, yes, they technically changed it, like where you have to announce it. Yeah. Like, hey, we're going to try to recover the ball here.
The stupidest thing I've ever heard
of. See if you can stop us. And 97% of the time... It works every time. They generally stop the team trying to recover the onside kick, kind of like Sex Panther, which was not near the success rate. It was only 68% of the time it worked every time. I really do. I think it's 97% of the time. Like, you don't recover. It's horrible.
It looks like it.
They need to fix it. It needs to be an organic play. It needs to be an I gotcha. We can do whatever we want because we still have the ball. You know, we don't have to kick it to your ass kind of a thing. That's what I want to see in football. So we'll see what happens. There's also the one little minor situation that they need to figure out where the Washington Redskins / Commandos are going to play in the future. Are they going to play in their own stadium? Are they going to move to like somewhere else, like D.C. proper, West Virginia, wherever? Who the hell knows? And really, for that matter, who cares? If they're going to be the Commandos, I don't really care. Though, go Jaden Daniels. He's cool. Finally, we mentioned this with the general John McClain, Bill Belichick, and UNC finalizing a 5-year deal. Earlier reports I saw was three years, $30 million. Now it says 5 years. Does that mean it's 50 million? Maybe more? Who knows? I was a little surprised at other people's opinions on this. Not really the generals. Like, a lot of football people, NFL football people, are shocked. Like, man, Belichick's 27 wins away from surpassing Don Shula on the all-time coaching wins list. Everybody seemed to think that he was going to go back to the NFL and coach for another 5 years there and become the all-time winningest coach. Well, apparently it's just not that important to him. You know, the six Super Bowls that he'd won, you know, with the New England Patriots and Tom Brady and, you know, what he did as an assistant coach, defensive coordinator for the Giants.
Yep.
You know, that's been far more important. So now it's a new chapter. He's going to be the head coach slash CEO, really, of UNC. I think this is awesome. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's an interesting follow. What I'm really interested in is why UNC. Is it just because his dad, once upon a time ago, like literally 70 years ago, was an assistant coach for a couple of years there? Or is it because if there was a college program that an older guy like Bill Belichick could take over, it would be the one that was just recently run by a very well-respected, successful older guy in Mack Brown, and that maybe Mack Brown was running that program similarly to the way that Bill Belichick wants to run that program, which he'd said earlier this week on a podcast, I think it was the McAfee Show, that, hey, I'm going to run this thing like it's an pre-NFL program. I mean, do you think
he should?
Yeah, I mean, do you think that that is like at least a little bit of the reason why he chose UNC? I don't know. Like, why UNC? Because if Belichick was going to go to college, wouldn't you think it was going to be like a big badass SEC school?
Yeah, that's what you would think.
Or just a college football power, and that is not what UNC is.
But John McClain mentioned it, and the part about his son and potentially being the
heir apparent, yeah,
so to speak. You know, these deals have been worked out like this before. We've seen it. They don't always work out for the best.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. When so and so was supposed to be the heir apparent, I'm thinking that, you know, it's a big thing, you know, for him to help his son out. And now, I'm not necessarily buying.
If he wants to help his son out, you know what he can do?
What?
Get that sucker a haircut. Lose that ass mullet.
I forgot about that haircut.
You know what?
I forgot about that.
His career could really take off, but you need to stop looking like an absolute lunatic on the sidelines, chewing your tongue with a mullet. That's a bad look for Steven Belichick. You know I'm not lying.
No, you're not. If you've seen the video, you know what we're talking about, where he's on the sideline. He looks like he's about to fight somebody.
Yeah.
He's just chewing on his tongue. Football. You know, he does the whole crouch down. You know, he spreads his legs really far apart, puts his hands on his knees, and it's like spit coming out the side of his mouth. And he's got a chaw in there, and he's chewing on his tongue with his mullet. I mean, part of me, like, really appreciates that. Like, that's football.
There
damn
you
it,
go.
You know, but
ultimately, though,
that does not seem like the guy that's going to take over.
No. Ultimately,
collegiate program and go into people's living rooms.
I think he's going to be in a lose-lose situation regardless.
Yeah.
No matter where he goes, he's got to follow his father, his father's footsteps as far as coaching. And that's what is going to be the standard for him no matter where he's at.
Yeah.
So if he goes right behind him at the same college, I just think that's a lose-lose. I really do.
We'll talk a little bit more about this later on because I've got some audio that we're going to play on the matter. So we'll do that later on. He's Chris Partee in for PC this evening. I'm Sean Bajani. Colin, a.k.a. Will, is in for Chris Santiago. It's a patchwork crew at Area 45, but it's all good. It's what we do. We got you till midnight. Coming up next, how distraught. We need to have a conversation about this. How distraught are Houston Astro fans really going to be if, in fact, you lose not one, but both of these guys? Your confidence level, where you at, all that, we'll discuss. It's next on Area 45.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bajani and Creighton.
Is playing elsewhere in 2025, and that the Astros stun the baseball world and pull off a trade that I don't think anyone would have envisioned maybe before a month ago. But this is something that they have been considering. I've reported that general manager Dana Brown is open to moving either Tucker or Framber Valdez. You know, Joe Espada, you know, he would play with the roster he's given, but it it would bring back the sort of prospect haul that could really help kind of revitalize this Astros farm system, and they need it. They don't have much coming. They don't have that next core of awaiting in the wings to help this championship contention. So my bold prediction is that Kyle Tucker is not an Astro in 2025.
Chandler Rome from earlier today, that spicy. Was his report, man. Very spicy report. Reporting from not just him, but Ken Rosenthal as well. Serious interest from Major League Baseball clubs regarding Kyle Tucker and his services. That's the name that's really kind of taken off. But there's a recent article in The Athletic written by Chandler Rome titled, "In Making Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez Available, the Astros finally have clarity." We will discuss this article, this segment. If you want to be a part of the conversation, hit us up, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text. You can even hit us up on the chats. We've got Twitch and YouTube available for you, Twitter as well, at Chris Partee. That's Chris with a CRISSNPARTEE. For Chris and at Sean Bajani for myself. You just figure out my spelling. I'm not going to do it for you. Too many ABCs. Figure it out. Cubs and Yankees, along with several other teams in the mix. That was a report as part of the one you heard just moments ago. The Cubs, we actually have names, Chris. How realistic are they? Not sure. It seems as though Seiya Suzuki, the Cubs outfielder, is the less realistic individual that the Astros would be getting in exchange for a hypothetical deal involving Kyle Tucker. Infielder Isaac Paredes, the more realistic individual. And if you ask the Cubs, hey, do you want to trade either one of those dudes? They're going to tell you, not really. at least not Suzuki. What do you think about Cody Bellinger? Can we interest you in a Cody Bellinger? That's, according to reports, what they would really like to do is unload Cody Bellinger. Now, here's the question, man. It's these names, they could change in 24, 48, 72 hours. There could be more names. There could be more appealing names, less appealing names. It's baseball. It's winter. It's the hot stove. That's the way baseball works. The question is, and this is at least what I've taken from it, and Colin, feel free to weigh in on this as well. I said this earlier. The one thing that I have gathered over the course of the last 24, 48 hours, it's given me a little bit of peace in that I'm confident. I'm very confident that the Astros are not going to be taking a step back, like on purpose, this offseason. And what I mean by that is, if they're not able to retain Alex Bregman and they do believe that they can get a haul and beef up their farm system, as Chandler Rome said, in dealing both Kyle Tucker and or Framber Valdez, then you can still improve your squad this offseason, but time is of the essence. And you can do it with guys like, yeah, Isaac Paredes and Seiya Suzuki and maybe a Cody Bellinger, maybe a starting pitcher or two. I really think they need two because there's too many question marks from the pitching staff department, you know, going into the 2025 season for the Astros. So I think they can still improve. And so I'm confident that they're not going to take a step back on purpose at the end of the season, win loss column. It might look like it, but I don't think that's their intention at all. And so that's kind of what gives me a little bit of peace at this point in time versus where I thought the Astros very well could get to. And that is a slight bit of a teardown and a soft reset.
So the reset you were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the difference between a reset and, I guess, a rebuild? Like in your
Shea Whitcomb equals ass. Reset versus Isaac Paredes. Retool. You know, not even retool, but hey, let's try this.
Yeah.
That's your contingency. Somebody had a tweet, I think it was Michael Schwab on Twitter earlier, was, and I appreciate him for his logic. We have him on the show sometimes. he's good baseball people. he was talking about this deal in particular, if in fact this happened. Tucker to the Cubs, and you get Paredes, and you get Suzuki, and maybe you get a couple of prospects. According to Chandler Rome, any deal that would include Kyle Tucker, you know, in particular, would probably bring back at least, you know, a prospect, high-level prospect or two. Maybe more, depending on the level of prospects. But anyway, the main point was that Schwab made is like, hey, man, look at the value. Look at the war, right? Like the wins above replacement combined for Paredes and Suzuki. I think it was like 6.2, 6.5 in comparison to Alex Bregman's 5.6. Well, what did you do in losing Alex Bregman and gaining Isaac Paredes and Seiya Suzuki? Well, you gained, you know, almost two wins or whatever. Hmm. What about the wins that Kyle Tucker had for you as well? Well, you know, if you've got, you know, Nick Pivetta, or if you've got this pitcher, or if you got this role player, whatever, you know, those increased wins combined would be better than what you have in Bregman and Tucker, like status quo. Like, that's maybe from a baseball nerd kind of standpoint. And a lot of people would look at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what are we talking about here, man? I mean, it's baseball. This is exactly the lens that we view it from.
Yeah. Now, yeah.
So, if you're going to tell me that, hey, there's possibility that we could become a little bit more efficient, more successful, and add win probability to the squad, and save money and restock the farm system? Sure. Like, I think, where do we sign? Because at what point in time, it is 2024, and we are almost through a full decade of this dynastic run that the Astros have been on.
Very true.
And if you were listening a few segments ago, and if you've ever listened before, we've talked about, hey, how bad did it suck, but you moved on anyway after you lost George Springer? How bad did it suck, but you moved on anyway from Garrett Cole? How bad did it suck, but you moved on anyway and did quite well from Carlos Correa? Like, you've done this before. Can't you do it again with Alex Bregman and or Kyle Tucker? And, man, for me and my money, God forbid you got to do it from Framber Valdez, because I'd sure like to keep that dude.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible. It's just baseball. That's the way that it works optimally. Doesn't mean it's going to happen that way, but.
No, of course not. And I mean, personally for me, I think, you know, yes, it's worked in the past. You've gotten rid of big names, productive players. You've been able to move on. But I mean, how many times can you go to the well is something I think about.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you've done it in the past doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work again.
Yeah, but here's what's different about what we're talking about at this point in time with the Astros. The Astros, when you say going to the well, how often can you do it at some point and, you know, turn, like, your bucket's going to come back up empty or a little less full, right? What's different about this time is you're going out and you're getting, you know, proven major leaguers, and they're a little bit younger, they're a little bit cheaper. Whereas what you've done before is when you lost Carlos Correa, you dove into your minor league system and you played Jeremy Pena. When you lost George Springer, you dove into your minor league system and you developed guys like Jake Myers and Chaz McCormick. You know, when you lost Garrett Cole, you absolutely, this is what they've done, is dive into their minor league system and bring up the young guns. You had to do it this year because injury over and over and over again bit you in the ass, and we discovered that, hey, you know what? Spencer Arrighetti, dude's kind of a dog. He's kind of good. He's pretty badass. Rennell Blanco, good job, Dana Brown, from turning this guy into a, you know, career reliever, into a starting pitcher. Do you not trust his evaluation still at this point after finding that guy, after finding, you know, one of the better minor leaguers in all of professional baseball in Bryce Matthews? You know, there's constant examples for you to point to that you may not like, because you can't see him in an Astros uniform right now, that you should have confidence in the Astros to do both. Go to that well, but then, you know, pivot a little bit and go get some proven guys as part of their contingency this offseason if they lose Alex Bregman, if they have to trade Kyle Tucker or Framber Valdez.
Sean, in your mind, who's more important to keep at this point? Is it Bregman, Tucker?
More important?
Yeah.
Honestly, I would say Alex Bregman, without a shadow of a doubt. and it's people would say, yeah, performance wise, you're going to have many more years of Kyle Tucker in performance. I mean, he's 27 yeah. versus, you know, Bregman 30, 31. Okay. Yeah. I gotcha. Okay, cool. But, you know, Alex Bregman, very much heart, soul, vibe, fire, ass kicker, hard worker. You know, he's the guy that I want welcoming every noob into the Astros locker room. He's the guy that I want leading the way along with Altuve and Yordan in terms of game preparation and all of that stuff. Everything. And it's become more, it was more documented this past season than ever before in terms of like the overall value and the stuff that literally does not show up in the box score, but only shows up in the interviews that you don't hear about until the season is over. How helpful he was with the young pitchers, how helpful he was with struggling hitters, how helpful he was, you know, with Joe Espada in his first year as, you know, manager. Like, those are the things that's invaluable.
So what you're telling me, it sounds like you believe in the intangibles.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily you can physically see it, but it's there.
Yeah.
There's something else Absolutely. There that he brings.
Absolutely. It was the fear. I mean, look, Carlos Correa, the production. You'd like the guy to have stayed healthy, you know, much that just might be him, but you missed those intangibles. That the one moment, right, that everybody points to is like when Framber Valdez was losing his ish on the mound and Carlos Correa goes over there and, you know, basically says, hey, look, dude, you know, you need to pull it together and, you know, get this out right here. Yeah. You could do it. We've seen you do it all year. Stop your pouting, stop your mental head case crap and go get this out. Like, you don't have a lot of guys that can talk to somebody like that.
Yeah.
And you don't need to talk to guys like that, but you need to get that, whatever that was pulled out of Framber Valdez. You need that guy to get that out of those players.
That's leadership.
That's what Bregman gets out of dudes. Yeah. And I think that's what Michael Brantley got out of dudes. I think that's what Josh Reddick used to get out of dudes. It's like you have these personalities that are all very different, but at the end of the day, they're going to get the very best out of their teammates in big time situations. And it might be doing some dumb crap like wearing Superman Speedos if you're Josh Reddick, or it might be, you know, talking to another grown man, you know, an inch away from his face, you know, dog cussing him in a big moment of a game, but you know, because you're going to get the very best out of him in that situation. That's a team that has a World Series window that you want to keep open, you need dudes like that. And, oh, by the way, he's pretty freaking good, too. Alex Bregman.
That always helps.
I don't think you can afford to lose that guy. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. If you want to hit us up, be a part of the conversation. 10 o'clock hour is upon us. And we'll turn our attention to a little Rocketball, man. Their GM, Rafael Stone, weighed in here recently on Jimmy Butler and the trade chatter that had been going on in regards to him. Well, it's not going away. We'll let you know what Rafael Stone said next, and we'll discuss. It's Area 45. Stay put.